glad that Brother Billy spoke to us last night, and I'm sort of, what he says sort of dovetails on what I'd like to say this morning from the book of Jude. And so let's take our Bibles and turn there again. Okay, and I'll do this. I'll move along here. We talked about building ourselves up on our most holy faith. We talked a little bit about praying, the necessity to learn to pray in the Holy Ghost, to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God when we pray. And now, the third thing that's mentioned here is to keep yourself in the love of God. Let's look at verse 17. But beloved, remember the words that which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does Jude mean by that? Why is that so important? What does that have to do with contending for the faith? Well, the enemy would like to bring you out of the love of God. But Jude says here we must keep ourselves in the love of God. And first of all, that has to do with recognizing, acknowledging the love of God. Keep ourselves in the circle of His love. People have doubted God's love for them. They've looked at circumstances in their life and wondered, where is God? How can He love me if He allowed this to happen or lets me go through this? But we find that God is able to reveal His love to us apart from circumstances. I mentioned the other day how God revealed His love to Brother Wolf while he was there in that concentration camp, near starvation and being worked to death. And there God made His love so real to him that it just changed his whole attitude toward everything. And he began to commit himself to God now, knowing that God loved him and knowing that God would care for him and God would bring him through. And he trusted in that love. But there was no outward reason for him to believe in the love of God. It was a revelation by the Holy Spirit when he opened his heart to Jesus and recognized that God loves him with an everlasting love. And we've heard other wonderful stories like that, that we find that God loves us. And we don't find God's love in the circumstances necessarily, but we see God's love at Calvary. In 1 John, let's look at that. 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is. It tells us there that that's the place where we understand and see the love of God. When God reveals to us Calvary, that's where God was demonstrated in the purest way and in the most powerful way toward mankind. And the Holy Spirit makes that very personal. It's not just mankind, it's you. God showed His love to you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. 1 John chapter 4. And if we begin with verse 9, let's have some read that. Okay, thank you. Okay, here the Apostle John tells us that herein is love. This is where we understand the love of God. when we look to Calvary and we consider that God so loved us that he sent his only Son to die for us. Jesus himself said, no greater love hath any man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends, as he prepared himself to go to Calvary. That's where we understand the love of God. Not in your circumstances, not in the condition of the world. Those things we have difficulty reconciling with our natural mind. You know, we only see things from an earthly perspective. But God works for eternity. And so we look to Calvary, and the Holy Spirit causes Calvary to shine into our hearts. And we can come to the conclusion, Lord, I don't understand why this has happened in my life, and I don't understand why that's happening in the world, but I cannot deny the love that God has for me and for mankind. The Holy Spirit has made that so real in my soul. And if God didn't love me, then why would he send his Son to die on the cross to be my Savior? You know, people say, if God's love, then how come there's children starving here and there's wars going on there and people are suffering? And I say, I don't know. I don't know why those things are happening. I know that we're living in a fallen world, a broken world. The world is under the power of the enemy at the present time. But let me ask you a question. If God isn't love, then why would he send his Son to come down from heaven into this sinful pit of a world and die, and suffer such agony so that you could be his forever? Answer that question. Well, they can't answer that question either, so we're even. There's a lot of things we don't understand, but the Holy Spirit can make the love of God so real and so precious to us, and he does that. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we ought to seek that. Lord, reveal your love to me. Fill me with your Spirit and cause that love to come into my life in such a wonderful way. And God does that, and God is doing that. And God wants us to believe in that love. We read there in John chapter 4, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has toward us. God wants you to believe in his love. God is love. Believe in him. And that's a step. That's where we take a step of faith when things don't appear to be going as we would expect. We have to believe in his love. Lord, I believe that you love me. I believe that you died for me and that I'm precious in your sight and that nothing can separate me from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And I believe in your love. Oh, that'll have such an effect upon your life when you begin to believe in the love of God. You get your eyes off of yourself, whether you're worthy of that love or not, and you just say, oh God, I believe in your love, in your mercy, in your loving kindness. Praise God. We sang a song the other day, and after I sang it, I thought, I don't like those words. It was, I will serve thee because I love thee. I like that. You've given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. I thought, I'm still nothing. Right? That didn't, Jesus finding me didn't make me something special now. I'm still nothing, but he still loves me. And that's what makes his love so precious and magnifies the love and mercy of God in our lives. Well, I know what the songwriter meant by that, and that's why I don't mind singing it. And we do feel loved of God, and we feel special in his eyes, and that's right. Praise God. But in ourselves, we're still nothing. And yet God loves us. We love him because he first loved us, we read. If God did not love us, we could not love him. But because he loved us while we were yet sinners and sent Christ to die for us while we were enemies of God. Well, when we recognize that love, that enables us to love him. When we receive that love into our hearts, now we have a love that we can give back to him. And we talked about that the other day. Our love is so insufficient and so full of self and selfishness and so on. But that love of Jesus is pure. And we can only love him as we receive his love into our hearts, and to the degree to which we do. And so we need to grow in the love of God so that we can grow in our love for God. And so we need to believe in the love of God. Can you do that? Can you believe that God loves you no matter what things look like, no matter what comes your way, no matter what has happened? God loves you. God has a loving purpose. Some of these things that he's allowed in our life, we do not yet see what he purposed and what he wants to accomplish, but we know, we trust in his love, and we know that if God allowed it, then God has something precious that he's working out. And not everything that works out is for time. God is working for eternity. I remember reading, someone was saying that, you know, I have children, they live in my home, and I, as their father, am working with them, praying for them, training them and teaching them things that extend far beyond the time that they will live with me. I'm not just concerned about keeping order in the house and making sure their room is clean and that we're getting along with each other. And then when they turn 18, 20, 22, 30, 42, and they leave the house, whatever it may be, then I don't care about them anymore. Well, I'm just concerned about you living in my house. I don't care what happens out there. No, I want them to get training. I want them to be able to get a good job or pursue whatever God's call is over their life. I want them to learn skills and develop their ability to get along with people and to be helpful and compassionate and so on. I want them to be disciplined and hardworking and so on, so that when they leave my house, that they can find a life of their own, and they can be productive, and they can be a blessing, and they can keep on growing, and so on. And while we're here on earth, it's like we're in the house. But God's not just concerned about us living in the house, because he knows there'll come a day when we'll leave the house, and we'll enter into eternity. And he's preparing us for eternity. And so some of the things that he's teaching us here on earth, and some of the things he's letting us go through, we don't always understand what that has to do with my life here. How does that work together for good? What good could ever come out of this? And we have all asked those questions, but God says, well, it doesn't have so much to do with your time here on earth. I'm doing something in your soul to prepare you for your time in eternity with me. And so just trust me. Trust that I love you and I know what I'm doing and I only want what's best for you. My heart yearns over you every day. And so believe that. How much more could he have shown us his love and demonstrated that? How much better could he have done that? Oh, in the Old Testament, God complains to the people. He says, what more could I have done for you? And you're not recognizing my love and my care. And you're complaining. But trust in my love. Trust in me. And so the Apostle John said, we have come to believe and to know and to believe that the love that God has toward us. Praise God. And we have to get to that place too, where we learn to believe in God's love. We love him because he first loved us. And then in Romans chapter 8, it says, what can separate us from that love? What can separate us from God's love? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's just look at that passage at the end of Romans 8. Also another passage very familiar to us. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, if God is on our side, who can be against us? What can prevail against us? If God is for us, what can come into our life that can prevail against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We're reminded of Abraham and when he was called upon to offer Isaac, his own son, his precious son, his son in whom he had all his hopes and dreams tied up in. God called him to take that son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham was obedient to the Lord. And he brought him up there onto Mount Moriah. And on his way, his son said, Father, we have the fire and so on, the wood and that to start the fire for the sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God himself will provide that sacrifice. And perhaps he didn't realize he was prophesying that God himself one day would come down and be the sacrifice. But he said that to his son, and then when he went, he bound his son, and now Isaac knew where the sacrifice was. It was he. And Abraham lifted his hand with that knife in his hand and was determined to obey God and follow through and kill his son and offer him as a sacrifice to God. And God stopped him. God would not let him offer a human sacrifice and to give his son in that way. But what God would not allow Abraham to do, God did himself by offering his son. You know what pain that must have caused the father to see his son suffer like that? Sometimes it hurts more for a father to see their children suffer than to suffer themselves. And we often heard parents say, oh, if I could just take that pain into my own body and they could be relieved of it, I'd gladly do that. And so in a sense, when Jesus suffered, oh, how God suffered with him, God the Father. Can't separate that thought. He who spared not his own son, he didn't hold back his best. He offered his very son to die for our sins. But in another sense, he didn't spare him in the sense that he didn't hold back because he was his son. But he poured out on him the full extent of his wrath against sin. He poured it out on Jesus. Even though he was his son, he didn't spare him. He poured out the full extent of his wrath on Christ. And he did that because he loves us. And so he says, if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from God's love? What can separate us from God fulfilling his loving purpose over our lives? And then he goes down the list here. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I can go through tribulation, and I can go through that knowing that God loves me, that he's with me, that this tribulation, God will use it to fulfill something very precious in my life. His loving purpose will be fulfilled, and this tribulation can't stop that. The distress, the persecution, all these forms of suffering. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. Recognize his love. Believe in his love. Thank him for his love. Continue to grow in that revelation of his love in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit and open your heart to his working so that that love may be revealed to you in greater measure every day, all the time, throughout your Christian life. And then, of course, to keep yourself in the love of God also carries the thought to love others. And to know the love of God means to love others. We read that also. How can we love God and say that we love God and not love our brother? God said, if God so loved us, we ought also to love the brethren, to love one another. The Holy Spirit himself teaches us to do that, we're told in Thessalonians 4:9. We are taught of the Holy Ghost to love one another. Brother Bill talked about that last night. If we really love God with all our heart, that has to find expression. And it has to find expression more than in prayer and in times of worship and church. But we've got to love those whom he loves. And we've got to show the love of Christ to everyone. And in that way, we're loving him and we're giving back to him. And we just have to also emphasize that Jesus taught us that to love him and to abide in his love is to keep his commandments. We don't ever want to just think of love as a feeling or an emotion. Much deeper than that. Some of the greatest expressions of love were shown when there was no warm, loving feeling. Some of the greatest sacrifices of love that were made had nothing to do with feeling. It had to do with choosing to do what was best for the object of your love and be willing to make any sacrifice. I don't know that Jesus had warm, loving feelings toward mankind when he was hanging on Calvary. I doubt that. But oh, the love, the choice, the offering of himself for our benefit. That's love. And so, if we love God, we're going to obey him. We're going to do what he says. We're going to seek to please him all the time. And sometimes you'll wake up in the morning and you'll feel such a love for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. And your hands will go up and you'll worship him. And sometimes you'll wake up in the morning and you don't feel anything. But you say, Jesus, I'm going to show you that I love you today because I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to just live as I always do, living to please you. And when God looks down, he says, there's love. And he'll shine down upon that life. And he'll come. He said he'll come and he'll make his abode with us. He and the Father will manifest themselves to us in a most precious way, in a most intimate way, because he sees that we believe in the love of God. We abide in the love of God. And we're just praising him and appreciating the love that he has to us. And so build yourself up on your most holy faith. Keep growing in God. Do those things that will strengthen your faith and your relationship with Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let God's anointing come upon you and bring you into that precious fellowship with him, and keep your heart open to him all the time. And then he says, and keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep loving. There'll be people that come across your path that you'll have trouble loving. They'll say things to hurt you. They'll do things against you. Your heart will be tempted to become bitter toward them. And that's death to you if you allow that to happen. Oh, we can't let anything keep the love of God from flowing in our lives. And when we find that we just don't seem to be able to love that person or get past what they did or said, then we need to say, God, fill me with your love so that I can love that person as you command me to, and that there'll be nothing between my soul and my Savior. I just want to keep the way clear and open. Praise God. Keep me in the love of God. Teach me how to forgive. In light of all that you have forgiven me, Lord, teach me how to extend forgiveness to others. Not because they deserve it, but because you have forgiven me in your mercy, in your grace. Praise God. Having problem with anybody lately? Pray for them. Not that God will kill them. Pray that God will bless them. And that God, and when you begin to pray and you really begin to get really concerned that God will bless that person. Some people are miserable because they're miserable. They act miserable because they are miserable. They treat you poorly because there are things going on in their life that are so sad, and they don't know the love of Christ as you know, and they don't know the grace of God as perhaps you've experienced. And we need to have compassion for one another, especially those that are most difficult, and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in their life and why they act this way and why they're so miserable. But Lord, bless them, reveal yourself to them, help them with those things. And Lord, keep my heart clean and help me to be an instrument of your love. Maybe right now they're not ready to have a relationship. They're not open to it. Okay, but I can keep my heart in the place that when that time comes, that I'll be ready to receive them with open arms if you should bring that about. And in the meantime, I commit them to you. I wish them no ill, but I just pray your blessing upon their life. Praise God. And we can only do that through the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. But we heard this morning the grace of God is there, and it's abundant in Christ. So let's draw upon that grace. Don't worry, it'll never run out. Praise God. Take as much as you need, and there'll be plenty to spare for everybody else. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's sing about the love of God. There's got to be a song in here about that somewhere, right? That's number 72 in the White Book. Love His wonderful love. Number 72 in the White. Praise God. Today is our last full day of camp for some of us, and then some of us will be going home tomorrow morning or after lunch. So let's be in faith, and let's be believing God for one another that He will come and complete the work that He has begun in us at this time so that we can go home in the fullness of His blessing. Others will be staying on, and God will continue to work in you. Praise God. Let's just believe that at the end of this first period that Jesus will show forth His glory and put His seal upon that good work that He's done in all of our lives. Praise God. Let's stand. Number 72.
Love, wonderful love.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel, will you pray with us, please? Thank you.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. This is your day, Jesus.
Yes.
We pray that you would imbibe in us all of your love.
We
pray that we would learn it and that we would understand it. And we may not be able to comprehend it, but we know it is yours.
Yes.
We thank you for it. Thank you as we leave this meeting that you would protect and keep us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Abide in his love.